All right, take a Bible and turn to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, glad that you're here tonight. Hosea chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you to bless the preaching of thy word tonight. Help me to present these things. Help us to receive them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that God has a controversy with them. And the idea of controversy means he has a case against them. And I'll tell you what, if God has a case against you, there's no way you're going to stand unless you got a good advocate. And praise God that we do have a good advocate, don't we? The only advocate that can handle the case that God would have against us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. John said in 1 John 2, my little children, I write, sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so Jesus pleads with us and settles the case that God has against us if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior. But God had a controversy against them, a case against them. And why did he have this case against them? There's three things he mentions here. He says that there is no truth, there is no mercy, and there is no knowledge of God in the land. Now, no truth. They were full of lying and stealing and these kinds of things. Go over to Isaiah 59, verse 12. Isaiah 59, verse 12. And remember that Isaiah wrote at the same time as Hosea. And so we have some of these events paralleling one another. And Isaiah 59 and verse number 12, as I get there, and we have Isaiah writing about this time in which there was a lack of truth. He says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Justice refused to come and do what was right. Nobody would take up the cause of justice. The truth, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. What is right and just and equitable could not enter. What's fair could not enter. Verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And it's interesting, the word here for truth there in verse 15 of Isaiah is the same that one that Hosea uses in verse 1 of chapter 4. And so there we have just a pattern of lying, a pattern of deceiving. And what a sad condition that is. It reminds us of our day and age. I mean, how many people routinely lie? We meet people all the time who say, for instance, they're going to be at some service and they never show up. Truth faileth. Maybe they're just trying to make us feel good. Maybe they're just trying to get us to leave. Maybe they just don't know what to say. And they say, oh yeah, we'll be there and we'll come. And they never show up. Maybe they had good intentions. Maybe something came up. But I'd have to think that in more than one case, with all the many people who've told me they plan to come, that there's somebody there who was lying. How many people make a promise to God that they will do something for the Lord, but when it comes time to perform it, they're not to be found? I mean, maybe they promise God, God, I'll be faithful to all the services. I will read my Bible every day. I will pray every day. But have they? You know, truth faileth. How many decisions do people of God make maybe carry it out for a day or two, a week, maybe a couple of weeks, and then we're right back in the same old rut. You know, right back in the same old sins. Truth faileth. And so this was one thing going on there at that time. God had a case against them. There was no truth nor mercy. Mercy is a great thing to have. It means goodness or kindness. And we can see that with all the lying happening there, there was no mercy. They were just out to get one another. And then he says there was no knowledge of God. They were ignorant of God. And it was a crying shame because their nation was founded on the oracles of God. They were cradled and reared up in the Word of God. They had the law of God. They had the Word of God. They had the true religion of God. But there is no knowledge of God. It shows an utter and complete apostasy and rejection of the Lord. They had all of those things, the prophets and the Word of God. But you know, when the first king came along, Jeroboam, he came into power and he put in a substitute religion, a religion of idolatry from which Israel never recovered. And as a result, there was no knowledge of God in the land. And aren't we seeing that more and more in our day? More and more people ignorant of God. More and more people not even knowing that they are sinners. In fact, maybe sometime along the way, they'll even look at you and say, sin? What's that? I've never heard that word before, you know? And they no knowledge of God. And that is something that we have happening in our country. Now, there's the condition there in Israel. God had a case against them. There was no truth. There was no mercy. There was no knowledge of God. And then we have verse 2, which speaks of the conditions that were in the land. So when you have a situation where there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God, you have a recipe for producing what verse 2 mentions. And verse 2 of Hosea 4 says there was swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, and they break out and blood toucheth blood. Now, I want to concentrate on this verse right here. And it makes a few comments on it and then come up with some conclusions. Swearing, you know, they were swearing falsely. You know, they make a promise, they take an oath or something, and they wouldn't keep it. And so that's the idea there. Lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery. We know what those are. And then it says they break out. The word here for break out is a word that often connotes malicious and destructive activity. And it is a word that Nehemiah 1 and verse 3, Nehemiah 2 and verse 13, uses of the walls of Jerusalem having been broken down. And Nebuchadnezzar is the one who went in there with his soldiers, and they broke down the walls. Now, have you ever had to break down a wall, you know? And it's kind of nice if you can handle it to take a sledgehammer and, you know, if you're supposed to do this, you know, and just smash in the sheetrock, you know, and then just knock the studs out. And, you know, it just goes real quick, that demolishing business goes. I could always demolish stuff a lot quicker than I could ever build it. So this is the idea, breaking out. It's just, you know, just breaking out so it's not contained. It's just breaking through the walls and spreading out, you know, and just flowing out all over the place, just breaking out like a dam breaking and the water just coming out. And that's the idea. You heard about that Carnival cruise ship, didn't you, down there in the Gulf of Mexico? It's not much of a carnival down there. And, you know, and they got raw sewage in the hallway and seeping out of the boat, and it's 90 degrees. And there's they got onion sandwiches. Some of you like onion sandwiches. I know you do. And that's about all they got to eat. And, you know, and it's just, You know, that the sewage is just breaking out, you know, just seeping off the vessel. And the thing is, they said it's starting to list, you know, it's starting to go off to one. I haven't seen pictures of it, but I guess going off to one side. And, you know, yeah, that's the idea here, breaking out. And then it says blood toucheth blood. The idea there is that you had blood that was already there, and then more blood touches the pre-existing blood. And it says toucheth, this E-T-H on the end of it, which means it was a continuous, ongoing thing happening there in the land. And so you think about this, that if an animal gets run over or something, you know, and it's just blood all over the place, well, the birds come and they pick at the innards and all, and then the rain comes and kind of washes the blood away, and after a while you don't see the blood stains there anymore, right? And I don't think the road crew goes out there with Ajax and cleans it up, or you know, Lysol or anything, but you know, just kind of washes away. But in this case, you had the blood of one murder, was still there, hadn't been washed away, hadn't been cleaned up, and then somebody else gets murdered, and their blood is added to that blood, and then somebody else, and blood touching blood. I mean, just a horrible situation there. And so here we have this scene. There was no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God. As a result, we have all these things happening. This sin just breaking out, this blood touching blood, and just a horrible thing. And what I'd like to do is to draw some conclusions based on this. And maybe you've already thought of some of these conclusions. And one is this, that when there is no knowledge of God in the land, a person's word is not worth much. That's one thing we see here. No knowledge of God, no truth, no mercy. They were swearing, they were lying, they were committing adultery. You know, all of those things are involved with lying, aren't they? And not having the truth in your own life. And so their word wasn't worth much. A husband, a man and woman get married, and then they go off and commit adultery. Word not worth much. Take an oath and don't keep it. Word not worth much. Make a promise, don't keep it. They lie about it. They lie to people. You know, their word is not worth much. And, you know, it used to be that if you shook on it in the old days, in fact, in the real old days, if you just said it, that was good enough. Yeah, I said I would be there. I said I would do it for $10, and that's what I'm going to do. But you know what? Well, since you said that you were going to do it for $10, you're going to shovel my walkway for $10. We've had another 3 feet of snow. I don't care. That's what I said I would do, and that's the price I'm sticking with. You see? Didn't it used to be that way? And you didn't have to shake, you know, some people, you didn't even have to shake hands on it. But sometimes, you know, you shook on it and that really settled it, you know. And you didn't have to have a formal contract. You know, sometimes you got these contractors and they say, well, I didn't know there was going to snow another 3 feet. And that's not what I, you know, gave a quote for. And I didn't know I'd have to, you know, find all this rot or whatever else, you know, and repair this and that. And, you know, and you can't expect me to have known that. And you know, of all kinds of finagles and ways to get out of things, right? Well, it used to be a man's word was his bond. But as you see, when people get away from the knowledge of God, lying becomes more commonplace. People don't know how to tell the truth anymore, it seems. You know, there's been some surveys, and I didn't get the statistics for this message, but maybe you've heard about these surveys. They've surveyed college students. And they've asked the college students, do you think it's okay to cheat on your test or writing a paper? Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem. And, you know, many college students think, no problem. Plagiarizing a paper, cheating on the test, You know, everybody does it. And if we're going to keep up with it, you know, it's sort of like the athletes who shoot themselves up or get the trainer to do it so they got a way out. You know, shoot themselves up with human growth hormone. You know, how about Lance Lying Armstrong, okay? Lying Lance, huh? That is horrible what he did. To his children, he to his wife, he dumps her, and he marries somebody else, and then he's dumping all of his, you know, wow, Lying Lance Armstrong, right? Yeah, no knowledge of God, and there's all of this lying. I don't know how to tell the truth anymore. Another conclusion is that when there's no knowledge of God in the land, sin spreads. And we see that. They break out. Blood toucheth blood. The sin just spreads when there's no knowledge of God in the land. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. And the Bible says in Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here's a good verse for you to remember when people ask you, well, what about the natives in Madagascar who've never heard? Well, God has not left himself without witness. There's the witness of God in creation so that they are without excuse. Now, that witness is not enough for them to get saved just by looking at the sun and then figuring out that there's a creator. But if they reject this witness, God has no obligation to give them any more light, any more truth. If they won't receive the light that God has given to them, then they've rejected the truth right there. And, you know, I believe that if they will receive this light, the light of God in creation, God can get somebody to them. I mean, God had Peter go to Cornelius. God had Philip go to the Ethiopian eunuch, right? And God got men to those others who were open to the truth. And but we have the witness of God in creation. So that they're without excuse. Now we go to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, they knew God, but they did not receive that knowledge. They did not act based on that knowledge. They rejected that knowledge, and they went elsewhere. So for all practical purposes, now there's no knowledge of God. They've gone to idols. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they rejected the truth. And then they changed that truth into a lie, twisted the truth, rejected it and twisted it. And now they're worshiping these idols. And it says here, God gave them up. We go on, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, talking about lesbian activity. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, talking about sodomy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, which are not proper and not convenient, it says here. Verse 20, 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so here they reject the knowledge of God. They reject the knowledge of God. Then they twist the knowledge of God. And then God gives them up. And this iniquity just breaks out. Just breaks out. The people to whom Romans refer would not acknowledge the Creator. Instead, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And they rejected the truth of God. Now, don't we see that today with those who hold to evolution? They have abandoned God in favor of the creature. And what do we see in our land? People are taught that they are animals that evolved from animals. And how do they live? They live like animals. You know? As far as I know, dogs are not monogamous. Are they? You know, a dog, two dogs, a boy dog and a girl dog, and they have puppies. And the boy dog will go off, you know, with another girl dog, right? And, you know, and you know what? That's how a lot of people live, like dogs. Like dogs. They've been taught, you came from animals, you are an animal, and so now they live like animals. Very little restraint. In the February 1st, 2013 issue of The Sword of the Lord, there is an article entitled, Vermont Looking at Rights for Nature. How about that one, huh? Rights for Nature. The article says, nearly 30, this is in Vermont. You know, Vermont, get back to nature in Vermont, right? Get away from God in Vermont, really. Vermont was one of the first states that had civil unions. And now they got nature rights. It says nearly 30 municipalities have passed laws granting nature rights, which really means that anyone can sue to prevent any human activity with which they disagree. Moreover, when you say pond scum, mosquitoes, viruses, rats, weeds, etc., have rights, and you have attacked human exceptionalism and diminished the concept of rights in the same way that inflation devalues currency, the article says. I mean, if a snail has rights, what makes humans special? A Rights of Nature article is to be voted on at the Stratford's town meeting in March. It calls for an amendment to the Vermont Constitution that would recognize in the law the natural, inherent, and inalienable rights of forest, natural areas, waterways, and fish and wildlife populations of Vermont to exist, thrive, and evolve. You know what we ought to do? We ought to go over there, put on all our fur coats, and say, vote against nature rights. You know? In fact, I think it might be a good thing to have Fur Coat Day here at Calvary Independent Baptist Church. You know, this is really bizarre. Trees have rights. I mean, Al Gore was hugging trees a few years back. But, you know, trees now have rights. You know what? If you take a baseball bat and you kill a dog, you go to jail. And you should. You should go to jail. That's cruelty to animals, right? But if you take a knife and you're a doctor, and you go into a mother's womb, and you kill that baby, you are a hero. Aren't things backwards? And the more a nation gets away from God and the knowledge of God, the less human life is valued, the less people see that earth is a special place, the center of God's creation, and that man is the pinnacle of God's creation. And so they come up with this crazy stuff that nature has rights. Well, you know, so we have these conclusions that if there's no knowledge of God, then a man's word is not worth much. No knowledge of God, sin spreads. A third conclusion, no knowledge of God, sinners become very bold. As Hosea says, they break out. They break out. They're out in the open. When there's no knowledge of God, he's daring in his sin and no longer ashamed about it. Isaiah said this, and remember Isaiah and Hosea about the same time. Isaiah said, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Isaiah 3 and verse 9. And that's exactly what we see in our land, don't we? The Sodomites are no longer in the closet. The prostitutes are no longer shamed. The smut peddlers no longer shamed. The dirty talkers no longer shamed. The most sordid and filthy things are discussed openly over TV and radio. The suicide people are no longer ashamed. The same can be said about the drinkers, gamblers, smokers, and swearers. It used to be that a man would not swear in the presence of women and children. But now the women outswear the men. Our country does not want to admit that these things are because there's no knowledge of God. That's what we see in Hosea, right? No knowledge of God, no truth, no mercy. Therefore, they break out. They break out. Our politicians would like to think that it is because of too many guns that there's all this violence. Too many guns. But I tell you what, it's something else. It's a lack of the knowledge of God. And guess what? Our politicians took God out of the school, right? They banned the Bible. They banned prayer. And in some cases, they are trying to ban the Bible in public as well. And look at where we are. Sin breaking out. Oh, they don't want to admit that there's a connection. No knowledge of God and sin breaks out. They don't want to acknowledge that, there's a connection there. Oh, no, that can't be. You know, we're all God's children and we all worship God in our own way and we're all going to heaven. And that can't possibly be. It's got to be something else. We've got to have more laws. We've got to have more restrictions. And you know, no. Hosea says, no knowledge of God in land. They break out. And then one more conclusion. It says, blood toucheth blood. This is indicative of violence and bloodshed. And don't we see that in our land? Down there at Newtown, Connecticut. Here's some other things. A 10-year-old kills a 6-year-old. A boy expelled from school goes back to school with a knife, hoping to knife the teacher who had him suspended. A worker fired from his job goes back with a gun and kills his former boss. A person goes into a crowded McDonald's with a semi-automatic gun and opens fire. Women are raped. Children are molested. Blood toucheth blood. There's always been violence. Cain killed Abel, right? That was violent. But you know, we see it in our land, blood touching blood. In places that we didn't think it would happen. Blood touching blood. If that is what is taking place when there is no knowledge of God, then what should be taking place when there is knowledge of God? You know, when somebody has a true knowledge of God, it leads to eternal life. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, John 17 and verse 3. And when a person knows God, his life should be different. There ought to be truth in his life. There ought to be mercy in his life. There ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ in his life. And so when a person knows God, the very opposite should take place as what was happening there in Hosea's day. We who claim to know the Lord then need to live like it. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3, and it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know God? If you really know God, you're going to keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. When a man really knows God, it will be evident in his life by his keeping the commandments of God. There won't be what was going on there in Hosea's day. And so what in that man's life? So what is the solution? What is the solution in our country? It's not more laws and restrictions, regulations and red tape. We have plenty of laws on the book if they were being enforced. But the real answer is that men, women, boys and girls need the Lord. They need him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And when they have Jesus, they'll have a changed life. And so it behooves us as the people of God to live according to truth, to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, and to get that message to other people. So we have some tracts there in the back. Take some of them, give them out. Leave them places where people are going to pick them up and see them. Put them in your, when you pay your bill, talk to people about the Lord. Invite people to come to church, We need to be a witness and a testimony unto this truth, because it is the truth that will set men free from these sins and will change their hearts and can change this country. May we be such a people. Let's pray.